urge you, I'm sorry, if you don't have a lesson sheet, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passions of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. What do we know about the Thessalonians? Be brave. What do we know? Where did they come from? Who are they? What's their heritage? Come on, we talked about it last week. Don't be shy. You know, the high school class went to Starbucks. And I was thinking that's what we should do, but maybe it would wake y'all up. Were they Jews?
No.
What were they?
They were Gentiles.
They were Gentiles. What kind of practices did the Gentiles have in worshiping?
Pagan idols.
Yeah, idols, pagans. They did all kinds of horrible things, right? So, but it's interesting, they did those things in what? In what they believed was the service to God. Larry Haverstock years ago did a sermon, and he talked about how it is in man's inherent nature to seek a God. It was an interesting lesson. And then he went through and he listed all these different indigenous peoples and how every one of them has a God. And then they come up with ways to serve God. I just found that fascinating. That for the most part, if we're honest with ourselves, we can understand, we can feel there's something more than us. But the reason I brought that up is I want us to remember, as we're studying this next part, that we're dealing with individuals who came out of an idolatrous worshiping of God. Okay? So, verse 9. Keep in mind what we just read. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so towards all brethren who are in Macedonia. So we'll stop right there. What are they abounding in? Or as Lenny put it, what commandment of God were the Thessalonians known for obeying?
Loving
one another. What commandment's that?
Loving God.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah. So they're abounding in this. I want to spend just a little bit of time. This may be a two-day lesson. Lenny will be back next week, I believe. Unless he's listening to this on Zoom, then he'll take his time and make me finish it. But let's look at some verses. Because, I don't know, I find it interesting how simple being a Christian is. And then I weigh that with how complicated we make it. You ever think about that? As we were studying in Philippians, putting on the mind of Christ, the steps were so simple. And yet we make them hard. Somebody read for me. Well, I'm going to ask you guys to read. So I'm going to go ahead and get hands, right? And I'll give you the verse. And I just want us to roll through these verses. Okay, so Leviticus 19, verse 18. Who wants to read that? Okay, Jane? Next one will be Micah 6, verse 8. Eileen. John 13, verses 13 through 17. Kirsten. 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 13. I haven't seen any hands over here. We're not doing that right hand, left hand side. Who's got that one? Di, you got that one? Okay, Hebrews 13, 1 through 6. Don't be shy. I'm a terrible reader, so just judge me.
I'll do Hebrews.
You got Hebrews? And then the last one will be 1 John 3, 16 through 18. Who's got that one? Carol? Oh, John, you got to wave higher. It's the peripheral thing. It narrows as you get older. Okay, so let's go. Let's start with Leviticus 19, 18.
You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Okay. Micah 6, 8.
He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Is that the right one?
Yeah, that works for me. How about John 13?
John 13,
13. Yep, be nice and loud.
You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master. Neither is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them.
All right. Who's next?
I am, but I didn't get my verse written down right.
Well,
I'm sorry.
You can't begin with you. First, you get 1 Corinthians 13?
13.
Yeah, 11 through 13.
Thank you. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Thank you. Hebrews 13, 1 through 6.
Let's 1 through 6.
Correct.
Okay. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?
Thank you. And then last one, 1 John 3, 16 through 18.
For we know by this that he laid down his life and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Thank you. So, a lot of verses. We can also read Colossians 3:14, which is just right across the page there from Thessalonians. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So these Thessalonians have done a really good job of this, haven't they, from what we're reading? They love everybody. They're trying to take care of everybody. I think about, I wish he was in here, Dylan. Okay, a young man out of the world. And he comes and he sees what God has to offer and the blessings that you receive physically from being part of the body, right? And so what does he do? He finds other people and he says, man, this place is awesome, right? God is awesome. I'm struggling in life, and these people are helping me, and studying God is helping me, and so you get out there and you spread the word. So these individuals are striving to help all in Macedonia. That's a lot, right? And if we just stopped right there, that'd be a happy lesson, wouldn't it? We just quit. We'll just quit right now. We'll end on a high note. But what do we read? So, backing up at verse 9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so towards all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. If we stop right there, we could assume that they're increasing more and more is just in their brotherly love, couldn't we? But what do we read? That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Now, how many people, when they read that, found that to be just a little bit off? You guys are doing a great job at your brotherly love and your kindness and your wanting to take care of all of Macedonia, but mind your own business. That's paraphrasing. Why? Why? Why would we read that? Why would that be put in there?
Well, you don't want to get too caught up in what they're doing. I mean, you have your own life to lead and as well. So living a quiet life just means that when you see the need, you do it, but you're not boastful about it. And so you just kind of live your life and do your things. And when you see the opportunity, you spread that love and you just do it. And then you just go back to yours. Because I think if you got too caught up in it, then you're going to start getting into the whole worldly thoughts and
No, I think that's an excellent answer. I might step on some toes, but we all know that I'm not afraid to do that. We all probably know of a family in our past where the father was a preacher, and he was a very active, busy preacher, every day working on being a preacher, working on helping his congregation, coming and administering to the needs of his congregation, tending to his flock, and all the while raising horrible children. Children that strayed so far from God because they were neglected. That's uncomfortable to talk about, right? But, and I'm not naming names, but it's one of those things where you can get so caught up in what's out there that you forget what's right here. You also can be, so if we read, let's just read. It's interesting when you look at commentaries. I like to read a lot of commentaries. One, because I don't want to trust just one person. I want to make sure that they all. But there's just a whole lot of, if you study this, you get a chance to pick up a commentary and read. There's just a lot of guesswork when it comes to this set of passages. Mm-hmm. However, we can look at this set of passages and we can kind of look at our lives. Like one of Lenny's questions is, how can you better practice loving other believers? Now, we could answer that as a generic question. So how could you? Or I could say, how could I? How do I practice those things? But it's interesting that the next part is, what is the result of living a quiet, respectful, and responsible life? What's the danger? I got out of order here, so I got to find myself. What's the danger of not working, idle hands, lots of time on my hands, and being really concerned with everybody else's problems?
It's a devil's workshop.
It can be, can't it?
Yeah.
How many of us are guilty of having conversations with other Christians about other Christians under the guise of caring about other Christians, but really just wanting to gossip? Have you ever done that? We do that, right? Sometimes we're so worried about what everybody else is doing that we forget that we need to be doing something. Now, let's read on for a second, because this is all just going to kind of lump together. That you aspire to lead quiet lives, to mind your own business, to work with your hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you lack nothing. Take care of you so your relationships out there are proper. Bob, you look like you have a comment. Do you have a comment? He came in the room. He's my security guy back there.
Basically, what the writer just said was, be a good example. Don't judge your fellow man. And you cannot be someone else's conscience. If you've ever tried to do that, which I have, it just doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Something like that has to come from within for the person. And if you can just be a good example, you've done the best you can right there.
I think that's excellent. So we'll go back to my brother-in-law. He is facing something very serious, right? He can die. And I'll tell you, my wife is such an encouragement to me. I can compliment her because she's not here. Her ability to do what's right for someone, even when that someone hasn't done right for her. I can tell you that the last time that Brenda, and when Vicky went up concerned about Kevin, they knocked on his door. He opened the door, said, "Why are you here?" And then he shut the door and he wouldn't let him in the house. Could have been the Marine Tour. Could just be a monster. We don't know. We can't judge. But what they're doing right now by going up there and taking care of him is doing what they're supposed to do, showing that brotherly love. But while they're up there, they don't really need to be beating him down about his position in life right now. It's not the time. But as we're dealing with these Gentiles here, he says, so that you may lack nothing. But then verse 13, what does he say? But I do not want you to be ignorant, brother, concerning those things who have fallen, those who have fallen asleep. What's that talking about?
Death.
Okay, we all know that, so we don't have to spend a lot of time here. You know, I always hate it when preachers say that. I don't know why I just said that. If you have questions, raise your hand. This is one of those areas where the commentaries just kind of went off on tangents, but really didn't give me a lot of scripture to back it up. But their guesswork was that these, now we want to keep in mind that it's been about 6 months since Paul has been with these individuals, helped to establish this church. right? And they're excited and they're growing and they have enthusiasm. But the commentators are speculating, I guess that's the word that I want to use, that some of these individuals were so concerned with the returning of Jesus that that was their only focus, that they just stopped taking care of themselves. So they let Ron take care of them because Ron's still working. They were willing to, and these individuals, these Thessalonians, they were so busy being brothers, taking care of the needs of people, that they were allowing people to be idle. Those people that were just sitting and waiting for the return of Jesus and then had too much time on their hands. And so then were doing what? They were going around and they were in their attempts to help other people. They were gossiping. That they were meddling where they didn't belong. And then there is a lot of, as we read on, you know, here where he's talking about, don't be ignorant about those that fall asleep. They were concerned. What about the people that died before Jesus? That's valid, right? It's a valid concern. And they were spending a lot of time on that. And so he just lets them know that when Jesus comes, he's going to deal with them also. Right? And this is the area where we could spend a lot of time talking about what this group believes and what this group believes. But the gist of it is, Jesus will return. He will call home those who are his. And as we read in our loving verses, those who don't do these things won't receive that reward. But keeping in mind that he's talking to this group of people who came out of a pagan society and are now striving each day to be a Christian. Do we remember when we became a Christian? I got baptized right here. Didn't really understand how important it was until half the congregation from Springfield showed up. I didn't call them. You know, you realize, and then you come out of that water and you are just so full of enthusiasm, aren't you? So gung-ho. How many of us got it right? We made mistakes, right? One of the things young men will struggle with is pride and arrogance, having a hard time admitting that they were wrong. Well, I can tell you that as a young Christian, I was wrong so much in my beliefs and my understandings that I was probably the best person to argue with because I went into every discussion thinking, good chance I'm not right. Now, you gain more confidence as you get older, but there's so many things that we can wrap our mind around that aren't necessarily proper, isn't there? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. That comment kind of reminds me of when our apostles were sitting around talking about who's the greatest, right? Who's going to sit here? We want to have a pecking order, don't we? And there isn't one, is there?
Like,
in fact, who's going to be the greatest? The least. That goes against everything we believe, right? Everything that we're taught. How many watch football game yesterday? I can guarantee you none of you are as happy as I am. If the Ducks lost that football game yesterday, I was going to have to work the football game on the 21st, and I'm sick of working the football games. So I chose not to watch the football game because I'm bad luck. And I was excited when it was over. But there's a lot of guys on that field, right? A lot of guys on that field. And we have this quarterback, and he's a little dude like me. I mean, he's not a big guy, but he is an amazing quarterback. Why?
Focus.
It's fast.
Because there's big guys doing their job in front of him. And receivers running routes, even though the ball's not thrown to them, to draw other defenders away. Everybody on the field is doing a job. But at the end of the game, which I didn't watch, who did they interview? They interviewed the coach. That's fitting. The quarterback and Tez Johnson.
Yeah.
Right? So the world puts focus on individuals, doesn't it? Is that how we work? So you might be a pinky. You don't think that's all that important until you smash it with a hammer and you can't use it. Right? Oh, golly, Lenny's going to have so much to fix when he gets back. Oh, we're going to get through it. We enjoy it anyway. For the Lord himself, verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from the heavens with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The question is, describe the events of verse 16. I think that described it pretty well. I mean, what are we talking about? The coming, right? I mean, I can't say any words that are going to be more beautiful or powerful than that. But the last question is, how does the promise of the Lord descending from heaven encourage Christians to live a faithful life? Let me rephrase that. How does the promise of God, the Lord, descending from heaven encourage you to live a faithful life? Now, go ahead, Joe.
God has told us that we would have a place in heaven if our name was written in the book of life. And when he comes back, it shows that he is faithful to his word, that he still cares, and that he will do what he said.
Okay. I agree with that. Anybody else?
I want to talk to him. I have questions. No, I just want to meet him. I mean, you know, I don't know. You say, where would you want to go if you could travel anywhere? You know, I had lots of things, but that would be fascinating to be able to go back in time and walk with him and talk with him and just meet him, see what he was, you know, like truly see what he was all about.
I think that... if we're all honest, we all have had that thought.
Yeah.
I have so many questions. Right?
You shouldn't have to question them, but I have, you know.
But we're not given every answer. There's so many things in the Bible where it's introduced, this is talked about, that's it, it's left alone. And we have the whys. And then we have a lot of times where we do imaginary studies, that's what I call them, where we're going to try to understand the mind of God. I can't understand the mind of God. But I'd sure like to be able to ask questions. I don't know if that's how it works.
Well, I mean, I would also like to meet Ruth and Esther. And, you know, are they going to be there? Are they going to be up there?
So many things. Yeah, there's so many things, so many questions. But yeah. For me, One, we know that God is coming back. We believe that God is coming back. And so we can read the verses to where when he comes back, there'll be a judgment. Right? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There will be a judgment. There will be a divide. Everybody will stand. We read that in Philippians. Every tongue will confess. Every knee will bow. That's everyone. That's the atheists, the anarchists.
Putin.
Yeah. Don't you get political on me. Everyone, though. So what that should do, what it does for me, is it motivates me to love. It's a struggle. You think that loving would be easy, right? Loving you guys is. Sometimes loving outside isn't. I will tell you that it's really hard. Now, I have tried really hard to have a good relationship with my wife's brother because they don't. And so I am the intermediary. So I at least I know what he's doing, what's going on. But if I'm honest, I have bad feelings about him because of the way that he's treated my wife. And I would have those bad feelings about people who treat you poorly or you poorly. That's how I'm wired. So it's a struggle. And so the Lord blessed me with someone who says, doesn't matter, he's family. I didn't grow up in that kind of a world. We had disconnected families. So for me, I read these verses. Bob, you can go ahead and ring the bell. I read these verses and I think, man, I gotta straighten up, right? I gotta do better. And you know what happens when you do better? It's pretty enjoyable.
Do better.
You know, it really is. When you start giving to people, when you start doing more, when you start being more for somebody else. Man, it warms your heart. Now, I will get taken advantage of because I believe all the sob stories on Facebook. But, Carol.
But that, the last verse, therefore, comfort one another with these words. And I've got a notation that comfort means strengthen.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people don't think that strength can be comforting. But you are comforted by the fact that God is strong and his word is strong and that he can help us get from point A to point B. Even if we're doing lots of things right, there's still always something to work on.
Right. So we've read twice now, just in the verses that I've dealt with, abound more and more. You're doing great. Do more. Right? So I don't care how good you are. It's not good enough. We don't hear that very often, do we? And to Carol's point, strength is comfort. I can tell you as a 58-year-old that has about half the strength I had when I'm 30, that strength is comfort. Do you know what 30-year-old strength does for me? It gives me the freedom to not have to deal with employees. I just did it by myself. Now at 58, I'm like, I got to tolerate these teenagers because I need them to pack stuff. So as we get weaker physically, sometimes mentally we get tired. Like for me, this was what you might call a stressful week. You know, my wife traveling to Idaho this time of year, that's stressful. You know, I drive that one-ton monster out there so that I make sure my wife is safe in bad weather, and she's driving up the Columbia Gorge, and you don't know what kind of weather you're going to get, so that's stressful. She's up there dealing with her brother. That's stressful. She's dealing with all these things. That's stressful. I'm employee-less again in a week, That's stressful, right? So we get these things. Trying to prepare for a class. Trying to ask that question that some of you have asked me, and that is, are you ready to be an elder? Right? All those things, they weigh on your head. And when you're really honest with yourself, you can't answer them with it. Right? Life's hard sometimes. What's the Bible say about it? Abound more and more. Abound more and more. Do you do a good job of calling your brothers and sisters when you aren't here? Yeah, good. Do more. Do you give? Do you care? Do you look around the world and see? This time of year in America, suicide rate, super high. Do you know what Christmas does to the world? It shows the have-nots who the haves are. You go to public schools, you can talk to Scott. You go to public schools and you see the kids that come in with the new iPads and the $300 shoes and the really expensive jackets. You see the 16-year-olds that get a new car. And then over here, there's these young people who mom and dad are struggling for whatever reason, right? And they don't have those things. So we got to look at that. That's something that Scott deals with every single year. You know, we have all these giving trees and all these things because the focus is upon gifts. It's upon getting, right? It's upon getting. And so we need to look around. We need to encourage people. But as we read here about idle hands, I have a young man that's working for me. Nice kid. I want the best for him. Try to give him to John. Living in a simple relationship with his girlfriend, got it pregnant. Okay, so life's not hard enough. He added to his burden with this child. When he shows up to work, he does a good job. He's a hard worker. But his tendency is to be lazy. His tendency is to do just enough. Well, he had to take Friday off and do Uber Eats Friday, Saturday, Sunday to make enough money to pay rent because he took lots of time off during the holidays and the government garnished his wages because he hadn't paid his taxes and life is a struggle. And it all could have been fixed by just showing up, shutting up, and doing your job. Working extra hours, right? We have to work. As Christians, we have to work. We have to do our part. It doesn't matter. Life's stressful, do your part. Abound more and more. Don't judge the young man who's not abounding more and more. Try to be an encouragement. So we have to sit down and have conversations next week about the responsibilities of being a young man who is responsible now for a wife and a child. What's that look like? Looks like being tired for the next 20 years, but abound more and more. Thank you for your time. I appreciate you. Lenny, in theory, will be back. Lesson sheets are on the back table there. God bless you.